Hi, I'm Abhishek Lal. I'm a program manager with the Windows Azure Service Bus team. And today I'm excited to present to you some of the new Visual Studio tooling features that we have released as part of Azure SDK 1.8. I'm going to cover the different new additions which will let you build great service bus application easily from Visual Studio. Let me switch over to Visual Studio, where I have Azure SDK 1.8 installed. I'm going to start here by using the Server Explorer to connect to my service bus namespaces. If you do not have an existing service bus namespace, it is very easy to create one. You can log in to the windowsazure.com and then switch over to the portal. In the management portal, you are able to create service bus namespaces. I will click here on the service bus node. And as you can see, I already do have several namespaces listed. And in addition to these, I can create one using the new gesture here, using create. I can provide a namespace name. Choose a data center. In this case, I'm going to choose North Central US and choose a particular subscription. At this point, you're ready to go ahead and create your namespace. Once this namespace is provisioned, I can now go to Visual Studio and import that information. I'll right-click on the Azure Service Bus node and click on Add New Connection. This is a brand new connection experience that we have, fully integrated with the portal. All you need to do is click on the Download Publish Settings file and download the right certificates from the portal right onto your machine. At that point, you're able to click Import and load that file. As you can see, I have already done that gesture once. And if you have already done importing of your certs from the portal for using publishing of cloud services, then the system's fully integrated with that and your subscriptions will show up here. So I'm going to choose the right subscription. And you can see it will connect up and list out all the different namespaces that are part of that particular subscription. In addition, it will also show me the status. For example, the namespace which I just created is activating, as well as which data center these namespaces are in. So I'm going to select one and hit OK, and this will add that namespace to my Server Explorer. Now you can see I can list my queues and topics that are part of this particular namespace. In terms of queues, let me create a new queue on this namespace. And you'll notice we have some new properties displayed here. These are all service-side updates, which are available through the client API, as well as we've added tooling support for them. So I'm going to create a new queue. And here, I'm able to add any metadata, which will help me either programmatically or from UI be able to identify some information about this queue. It can be just some description, or it can actually contain reference numbers or ID numbers, anything which you feel. The other properties which I can set are the lock duration, duplicate time window, and maximum delivery count, which are all set to defaults, as well as choose the queue size. From the last SDK, we have one additional property here, which is enforce message ordering, which is on by default, and it continues to give you the same message ordering capability that you have today. If as we go forward and we scale out queues, if you want to let go of some of those ordering guarantees, then you can uncheck this option. I'll leave it on for now and hit save. At this point, my queue will get added, and I can quickly go and drill into it by looking at some properties. I want to call out some of the new properties that are now available on our entities. Specifically on the queue, notice in addition to the regular message count, you also have other properties for other sub-queues, such as the active message count, or the dead lettered message count, or the transfer queue message count. So now you can get deeper insight into your particular queue about where messages are at. I can quickly send a test message, and notice that it will update the appropriate metadata with the message count here. It also updates the last accessed at property. This is also a key new addition from the service side to know if an entity is active or if there is no activity going on, which can help you make decisions. So this is an additional property which we have provided. Also, I can dequeue messages right from here as a test. And notice this will also update all the live message counts back to zero. The additional feature which we have added this time is also the ability to update a queue. Now I can go back and modify an existing queue. Notice here some fields are unavailable, such as the session characteristics, whether sessions are enabled for the queue, the name itself, and the size. Other than that, you're able to modify all the properties. And hit save. And notice how the properties will be updated here. So now in Visual Studio, you can continue to enumerate your entities, see additional properties in them, and update these entities as needed. I'll move on to topics. And here I'm going to create a new topic. As you'll notice, we again have the user metadata available here, as well as the enforce message ordering flag. At this point, I'm going to click save. And go ahead and create this topic. I had a space in the name before, which is not valid. Now that I have this topic, again, when I go and see the properties, you'll see a lot of the additional properties which we saw before. The last accessed at information, active message count, and all those additional properties are now available. I can quickly go send a message to this topic. Now, at this point, since a topic cannot receive messages, its message count will continue to be zero. I have to go to a subscription within the topic to receive the message. But since I just created this topic, I don't have any subscriptions here. And essentially, the message which I just sent is lost, because only once a subscription is created, then messages sent after that are delivered to that subscription. This was a key ask from customers to be able to detect situations like this, where essentially they are not getting messages which they intend to get. We have added a feature to help with that, where you can go and update the topic to, say, filter messages before publishing. Once you enable this property, it will apply all the topic filters, that is all the different subscriptions which exist on that topic, at send time, and actually prevent you from sending a message which does not match any subscriptions. Now that I have updated it, I'm again going to try to send a message to this topic. And now notice the system gives me an error where it says there was no matching subscription found for this message, and I'm able to detect that no one will be able to ever receive this message. That's easy enough to fix. I can quickly go create a subscription. I'm going to call it audit, keep all my defaults, and hit save. The audit subscription by default will use a true filter, which means it will receive all messages sent to the topic. With this in hand now, I can go and retry sending a test message. And notice this time it succeeded because there is a subscription to receive that message. I can quickly jump back to the audit subscription, refresh the view, and I will see I have a single message available here, which I had sent. I can receive this message and get the count back to zero. These are some of the key updates that we have made in Azure SDK 1.8, the ability to quickly import your namespaces, the ability to update existing entities, see much richer metadata for them, as well as be able to set key properties. I hope you find these useful. The one additional key feature with Azure SDK 1.8 is symmetry and tooling with our Service Bus 1.0 on-premise offering. Let me quickly show you how you can use the same toolset to also connect to Service Bus on-premise and perform the same operations. Switching back to Add New Connection, I will click on Manually Entered Credentials. And notice here, it gives me two options. One is for Windows Azure Service Bus, where I can go online, go on the cloud service, and get the connection string from the portal. Or I can actually choose Service Bus 1.0 for Windows Server. And here I have both options to enter the credentials manually in terms of the endpoints. Or I can get the connection string from Service Bus 1.0 server from using a PowerShell commandlets. Pasting that connection string will then add a connection there. And all these features are symmetric in that all the functionality which you have available here and I have just shown is available to you for both service and server. Thank you so much for the time today. I hope you like these features. Do reach out to us for any feedback. We really appreciate it. My alias is ABLAL@microsoft.com, and happy developing. Thank you.